On the line with us now is Sue Wanzer, a member of the MCCSC School Board. Sue, good morning.
Good morning, Keith and Rob. How are you guys?
We are both great.
Yep, doing fantastic, Sue.
Sue, we got to start with this fiasco again of ISTEP testing. And, you know, what's it going to – now, there was yesterday the State Board of Education did make some noise about withholding funds from McGraw-Hill and all of that. I've listened to all of the explanations. I've read all of this stuff. It looks like possibly, and they've hedged it a little bit, we may not get the results of last year's ISTEP. By last year, I mean last school year's ISTEP testing until maybe December. Now, we're not in that situation here in the MCCSC, but it affects teachers' ratings because of the scores their students get on this test, and also school ratings. So what's your take on all of this?
Well, and you know, Keith, we've talked about this over and over again, and for years I've talked about my disappointment and my disagreement with the way that ISTEP results are used. I don't object to testing or assessing students, but to use the ISTEP scores, which were never meant as a diagnostic tool or a way to move forward or as a way to judge teachers, it was just to see what that cohort of students was doing. It doesn't measure one student from one year to the next, like some of the other assessments we use. But now, Keith, again, for us to have to wait until December, you know, we all remember when the tests were switched from the fall to the spring with the idea that the results would come in and it could be used to help teachers plan for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not working that way.
It's taking longer.
Exactly. So what good is it really doing us?
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't doing us any good unless the state really just wants to use it to grade schools and grade teachers, which I think is totally inappropriate use for that test. But, I'm at a loss, Keith, as I know that you are, too. We had problems with McGraw-Hill, what was it, CTD? Is that their whole name?
Right.
And the state still extended another contract to them. Now, that, to me, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
Why did we do it again with a company that we had trouble with in the first place?
Well, I have all kinds of problems with that. First of all, McGraw-Hill is one of the major textbook publishers. Now, I don't know if you saw in the story, we're now talking about switching. Guess who we're going to switch to? Pearson, another major textbook publisher. All of this stuff is so insane. And then to have this major division of McGraw-Hill say, well, part of the problem was you switched the test length and you switched some of the questions. Well, then why didn't you say it then? Why are you doing this now? And then to say that some of the students had kind of open-ended answers to questions and, quote, we weren't prepared for judging those answers, and now we've got to go back and reread so students get full credit for what they did. You mean that you've already judged it and they didn't get full credit? Come on.
Well, exactly. I'm assuming they designed the test. It's their test. So they should know what they need to do to score and analyze those test results. And yes, part of the blame does lie with the state because, the state kept changing what they wanted to do, and the governor decided the test was too long, if we remember that last year. So changed the test. However, that's something that I would believe the State Board of Education and the Department of Education would have negotiated with a testing company and saying, here's our issues, what can we do to make this work? And I don't think anybody ever asked those questions. I don't know.
Well, and of course, all of this comes out of the year ago's test where kids got on computers, take the test, and the computer went down, and you couldn't tell whether you were going to be able to finish or not. And sometimes they had to delay the test to the next day. Well, Rob's moving the button up and down.
Yeah. My timing was off on that one. Sorry.
All right. My voice is going crazy.
Well, Keith, the whole thing is we know this is such a high-stakes test.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's a lot of tension and anxiety prior to the tests. We have people complaining that our teachers are only teaching to the test so that we score well. So knowing everything that goes into this test, but then there doesn't seem to be the same commitment on the other end from the testing company to make sure this works for us, there's got to be a better answer. We're not part of the state board, but I am hoping that people, that our patrons, our constituents, anyone who is concerned and supports public education would contact our state board of education and say enough is enough. Maybe we just need to find something other than ISTEP. Maybe it's just not working. It's not been working the last few years. And to have so much writing on it seems ludicrous.
Well, the other part that bothers me about this, Sue, is that the state wants all of this stuff. Where's the indignation from the governor about this? How come
right.
the entire state legislature is not up in arms that McGraw-Hill can't complete this process the way it needs to be completed?
Well, and the governor has reported all these, millions, billions of dollars, whatever, in surplus, and how should we use it? Mm-hmm. Maybe he could use it to get a better testing company. I don't know.
But well, Pearson's in the background right now.
Yep.
So we'll see. Sue, speaking of that, you were alerting some of the school board members to a meeting that's coming up that's going to be talking about some issues.
Yes, this evening. It's Democracy for Monroe County. It's a local group. It's a spinoff of Howard Dean's Democracy for America, and they meet monthly with different issues of concern or importance to the community. Tonight at 6 o'clock at Bobby's Colorado Steakhouse, they're going to be talking about testing. This is just, the timing is perfect to talk, especially ISTEP testing and how it's being used and how it's really not doing what we think it should. Mike Walsh, who is part of the Indiana Coalition of Public Education,
one of our former principals,
administrator for us. Phil Harris, who's an educational researcher and has done a lot of research and has written about the flaws of ISTEP, along with, I believe, Matt Pierce, one of our local state representatives, will be there to talk about testing. So if anyone's interested, it's about the Colorado Steakhouse. If you want to get dinner, great. If you don't, if you just want to listen to the presentation and the discussion, that's tonight at 6.
Okay. What else is on your mind? We didn't get a chance to talk before we went on the air.
Oh, that's okay. What's on my mind? It's the first week of school.
Yeah.
Yay! I mean, it sounds like everything's going really, really well. I saw Mike Glasscock last week and with his kids, and I said it's countdown to kindergarten, so I know that they were excited. Maria had just been, it was on Friday, she had just been to the meet and greet with teachers at Summit, and she was very, very excited. So I just said, yeah, it's a great week because it's the first week back to school. I know there's a lot of people who think we start school too early, but geez, everybody around us is doing that too. In fact, I think IPS started a week before we did.
Right.
So, I don't know what that spells for the future for us or for any other school corporation. I certainly have paid attention to what a lot of people are saying, and there is a calendar committee that's meeting to develop our next, as you know,
right,
to develop our next 3-year calendar. And the superintendent has said that there will be a survey or some kind of instrument designed to get some input from the community before a recommendation is made.
Well,
so,
and the other thing is that if no matter when you start, it's still 180 days that you have to by state law. And so,
right,
you know, I'm trying to be open-minded on all of this. I have a tendency to think that getting out later is not going to make some people happy either, so I don't know.
Oh, well, and I know no matter what we do, Keith, you know, there's going to be some people who aren't happy with that. But, yeah, the people who keep saying Labor Day to Memorial Day worked well for me, why don't we do that? We can't do that because that's not 180 days, I guess, unless we started going in weekends.
Well, and I can't remember because it was Labor Day until Memorial Day roughly for me, but I can't remember whether we did 180 days then. You know, that was before there was electricity.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I remember, I only remember this because of my high school graduation, that it was like the first week in June, and I don't really remember when we started back to school. But I don't think the 180-day configuration has gone back for as long as we've been in school. I think that's a relatively...
Well, not we, Sue. You're much younger than me. Yes.
Not that much, but thank you anyway. Yeah, but it's relative to us. It's a relatively new phenomenon. But so if people will just remember that, I'm hearing people say, I don't like the week off in October. Mm-hmm. I've also had people contact me to say, for her family, it's a great time to take a less expensive vacation.
Right.
Some people like the early start time because it means less child care in the summer and less having to pay for camps and other things to take care of kids. So, you know, either way it goes, there are going to be people who aren't happy with it. And everyone thinks that we're doing this because we're on the way to a year-round calendar. I don't know that that's true. I really thought that might be what happened 3 years ago. I don't know that this is on our way to a year-round calendar because it isn't structured like a year-round calendar at all.
Well, and plus you are dealing with teachers and teachers' contracts and things like that. So that's not going to happen quickly if it does happen. And I certainly haven't heard any word that was something on the horizon.
I haven't either. I just think it's people who make assumptions about mm-hmm. what we do and why we do things. So I think our goal, and we've talked about this as a board, is to be very clear and open and transparent as this calendar is being developed. It won't be presented and voted on right away. There'll be more input taken. There'll be a proposal or a draft, and then we'll take more input before a final calendar is made. But I would remind people that there are parents on this committee as well as students and teachers and administrators. And I did ask the superintendent if we could post people's names who are on this committee. So before they meet again, they're going to be asked with all the controversy that seems to surround this. If they still want to stay on the committee, and let them know that their names will be posted. I think that's important so that people can contact them.
Sue, I know that we've seen a couple of notes from parents about technology and some indicating they're not too keen on technology for students. What's your take on all of that?
Well,
iPads to students.
Right. And now, knowing that, I have no children. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to tell somebody how to raise their child or what to do with technology. I do know that in schools, we've got to have the technology. People have got to learn how to do that. I mean, you can't even go to a restaurant anymore without somebody using a tablet to take your order, it seems like. Mechanics use computers. Everything is being done with computers. I understand a concern that kids might have to be carrying this laptop device around. I understand the concern with the family has to insure the computer. What we talked about as a board was that it was way too expensive for the school corporation to insure these. And for most people, for a lot of people at least, I talked to a family who did this. It's not too much to add it to their homeowner's insurance. In fact, I don't think they had to add any cost at all. It's just part of their homeowner's insurance now. So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I've seen kids at all grade levels, and I've seen even special needs students demonstrate how they use the computers in their classrooms. And I also have been to conferences where especially in the northern part of the state where there was a lot more snow, and there are some mm-hmm. school systems where the teachers are now required to announce the assignments a week in advance. And in the event they have a snow day, the kids go to their computers and they do
right,
the work on
exactly.
their computers. And there are phone ways to get in contact with special, like you're having a problem with your math stuff, you can talk to a math teacher. You're having problems with English, you can talk to an English teacher. And I've looked at some of the studies, and first of all, the kids get on the computers. They spend more time doing schoolwork on the computers than they do when they're in school. But they get on, they do a little schoolwork, and then they do some other stuff, you know, what kids would do on a computer. But then they go back and do schoolwork, and they go back and forth. But the reality is that they're spending more time on the computer in the intellectual pursuits than in the game stuff and things like that. And those school systems are very pleased. I keep telling this story because I can't figure out when I did this, but how did we learn the value of money and counting and stuff like that? I presume when I was in school, we did it with like Monopoly money kinds of stuff. This little girl who was maybe a fourth grader, special needs kid, came to me with her little iPad or whatever we call these things, and said, I want to show you what I'm learning. And, you know, there'd be a question on the screen like, Rob needs $2.78. Can you loan Rob $2.78 or something like that?
That's a real question, Sue. Can you loan me $2.78?
And there,
okay, I got it for you, Rob.
There are pictures of the real money. So nickels, dimes, quarters, that kind of thing, and dollar bills and fives and tens. And you put your finger on the stuff and you move it. It's all, you know, touch screen. And then when you're done, you say, okay, please, you know, let Rob know the money's there. And the computer comes back and says, Rob is extremely happy. Thank you for that. And then, you know, Keith needs $10.48.
Whoa. Why you get $10?
Well, because I'm, you know, higher paid or something. But anyhow, they do the same thing. And I'm thinking, first of all, they're dealing with real money on the screen. And secondly, I'm not sure that I ever had a concept of money the way this computer is doing. Then they're using the same computers to do, like in literature, they're making videos of storylines. You know, this is stuff you could never do in writing.
Well, and you know, and I agree, and I think from what I've seen, you talked about special needs students. Back mm-hmm. in the 80s, when I worked at Ball State in disability service, working with students with disabilities, computers, and we weren't using computers that much, but the computers made such a difference for kids with learning disabilities and any kind of language impairment. They were able to do some things differently with a computer than they could orally with an instructor. So I think, and you mentioned that too, we have kids in our school corporation who don't have access to technology. Now they do. And that's one of the important things. There are a lot of people in this community whose kids might have their own computers or laptops or devices or their tablets, and they can be doing a lot of that schoolwork. I saw a report recently with kids in poor school districts. This is national news. And the kids, because they didn't have any kind of computing device, they were doing their homework on their phone. Now, I can remember a number of years ago trying to do everything on my smartphone, reading the newspaper, responding to emails. That's really hard. Can you imagine kids doing homework on a smartphone? So this enables everybody to... It kind of levels the playing field, like I believe public education should, and gives everybody the same access to the same technology. I'm very happy that we're doing it. For people who have specific concerns and issues, I'm sure we need to talk about that and be able to work that all out so that people or parents don't feel that we're trying to just make their children part of the big computing industry, which really isn't what we're trying to do. We're just trying to help them have some skills.
Well, Sue, we haven't solved all of the problems of education, but we've hit a chord or two for some of the listeners, and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, you're welcome, and I believe we have a work session on Tuesday, don't we, where we're going to start talking about the budget?
That's right.
At 5:30, so if anyone is interested in hearing...
Those are open, so you can come and watch and see the process, and Katz usually covers those.
Yeah, presented.
That's right.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to start our budget process.
Right.
Here we go.
Sue Wanzer, a member of the MCCSC Board of School Trustees, and we thank her for being with us this morning.